Welcome to the Business Behind Your Business, conversations to help your business grow and thrive. Hi, I'm Paul Sweeney, founder of Pretium Solutions, chartered accountant and certified business advisors, hosting the Business Behind Your Business. Hello, I'm Paul Sweeney, and one of the questions we get often is about grants, government grants, incentives, and cash payments for businesses. Now, it's not quite as straightforward as it might seem, because what I say is a grant and what you hear as a grant are often different things. So commonly people think of grants and they're thinking of a cash payment from the government with no strings attached, or with no spending criteria or no reporting. Now, that's not the case. So we've got effectively four types of grants or incentives that are available from governments. And we're particularly looking at the Australian federal and state-based grants and incentives. And some of those are linked in with the taxation system, and others are linked in more with the state-based systems. So we're going to have a quick look at what those are, because they come up quite regularly about how can I get some grant funding for my business. So there's four main kinds we're going to look at, and it might be good to look at the stimulus side of it first. So in response to, particularly in response to disaster, we often see that governments issue or make available funding for small businesses, particularly small businesses, or particular industries that are affected by a disaster. So what we're looking at here is we're looking at things like drought-affected areas, we're looking at flood-affected areas or bushfire-affected areas. Now, in New South Wales, unfortunately, going back to the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, we had the full hand. We had drought coming into bushfire, and then coming out of bushfire, we had drought floods. So we had all three. So many areas of New South Wales were affected, and there were special concessions and funding available for industries that were operating in those disaster affected areas. So often those were linked to the postcode, so the geographical area in which you were located, particularly around bushfire and flood. And there were also concessions for lodging income tax and payroll tax obligations. So there were concessions made available to business owners, particularly, that were affected by drought, bushfire, and flood. Now, coming out of that cycle, we then got hit with COVID. And COVID is, well, it's still around, but it has affected some industries a lot more than others. And we're particularly looking at areas like tourism and hospitality, and particularly in the central business districts where everybody has gone and they've gone working from home. So they're not traveling into the city. So a lot of those CBD, central business district businesses are really struggling. If they're still surviving at the moment, they are on the brink. Because the recovery in those areas has been a lot slower than in some of the suburbs, where people have returned to a more normal or pre-COVID style of work and attending the cafes and restaurants and bars in their local area. But the CBD has really struggled, because a lot of people are still not making the transit back into the city or the city areas. They're choosing to still work from home. So those businesses relying on commuters and workers in the city are really been struggling. So the government has provided a number of incentives and cash boosts for those industries. Also looking at personal services. So coming out of COVID, so back in 2020, we had a lot of concessions, or there was a big announcement about New South Wales grants for small businesses affected by COVID. Now, unfortunately, many small businesses that should, in my view, have access to those grants were denied, because the criteria for who was eligible were very, very tight. So not many businesses that, in my view, should have been eligible for that kind of support from the state government, they didn't get it. They weren't eligible. And that's a real shame, because there was this huge announcement about, people got excited, there was this ray of hope, and then when they went to apply, there was nothing. You know, in fact, most businesses didn't get very far in the application process and were knocked out by about the second or third question. So it was very limited who was actually eligible for that disaster relief, so the COVID relief and the small business grants there. Now, that's not to say that nobody got those grants. Some people did, but it wasn't a great outcome for small business in general. So we have disaster relief that is a form of funding from the government. Now, that funding is there to help small business get back on their feet after the disaster. So they're looking at, how are you going to spend the money? So there's an intention that you'll spend the money on marketing or hiring or cleanup, or repairs. So a way of getting back on your feet and back to normal for your business. So it's not intended for you to take the money out and draw it and use it for non-business purposes or to go and buy a new car. Yeah, it's intended to get your business back up and running after these disasters, okay? So they're limited in purpose, but they're also limited in value. So I think you're looking probably at a maximum of $10,000, and in some cases, much lower, $5,000. In fact, we've still got an incentive at the moment regarding business licenses in New South Wales as a guide, so up to $1,500. Now, that's not a huge amount, but it does cover the cost of licensing, state-based licenses, business licensing for certain businesses, particularly in the trades area and maybe even the liquor area. It might cover those licenses as well. So there is some small concession available, and that in a way is a form of government funding or a grant in one way. So we're looking at that. Now, the other way we look at it is what incentives are there for small business, and this is where we go to the federal or the Commonwealth level. In Australia, so we're looking at two major incentives for small businesses. And I've talked about these before, but we have the temporary full expensing of assets, where you can get an immediate deduction as a small business for a new asset that used in your business, or even a second-hand asset if it qualifies, without a limit except for luxury cars. So you've still got the luxury car limit. But what that means is you can bring forward the depreciation claim. You can claim it all in 1 year. So that accelerates your deduction and reduces your taxable income right now. Now, there's a couple of problems which I've discussed if you've heard me talk about this before. One is getting funding to purchase those assets. So funding is a lot tighter at the moment. And if you're a small business coming out of COVID, a lot of your cash reserves you would have used up already in just getting through. So your cash reserves have been eroded, and now this incentive is here, but to get access to it, you're going to need to borrow money, and then you've got to get the finance. Now there is delays in getting finance, so it's not, the approval process has slowed down because we've got a lot more rules about and regulations about lending, but we also need to vet how viable the business is. So if you're a financier, you're going to be looking at, well, can we actually get repaid for this lending? And, the government says we're going to lend money, but we still need to run, the finance companies are still running a business. They need to make sure that they're lending responsibly and that they will actually get their loan repaid. So there's no guarantee you're going to get funding. So that's the first barrier that we're going to come across. The second one is there an advantage if that creates a loss? So normally with a business and a loss, you can't carry back that loss. You have to carry it forward against future income. So we're looking at, you've got a loss created by buying this asset, but it creates a loss which you can only use in the future. Now, that doesn't seem to work because there's no real benefit. You've got to pay the money out or you've got to finance it, and you get a tax deduction, but you can't use the full benefit of it. Now, this is where the other part of this incentive comes in, and this is where the tax loss carryback measures come in. Now, there's a couple of issues there. If you're operating in a company, you've got access to it. If you're operating through a trust or a partnership or as a sole trader, the carryback of losses is not available. So you need to be in a company structure. Now, the good news there is if you made a profit in the 2019 tax year or the 2020 tax year, and you've made a loss in 2021 because of, well, you know, downturn in operations, but also if you access this temporary full expensing of assets, then you can carry back that loss and apply it against prior year profits, taxable profits. And that means you'll get a refund when you lodge your tax return. So it's another form of incentive, but the purpose of this incentive is for you to spend money investing in capital equipment. And by you investing in capital equipment, you're spending in the economy and generating more revenue in the economy, more growth, more productive capacity. So that money that you're investing is actually going to be supporting other businesses, and they're going to have more money to spend. So less reliance on the government to actually fund us. So we're encouraged to spend and prop up other industries as well. And we're not just talking about the motor vehicle industry. We're talking about plant and equipment and many others, particularly construction areas. So look, it's an incentive that is there to target spending. They want you to spend on capital equipment to help your business grow. And look, upgrading your computer equipment is a great way of doing that as well. You will get the deduction, but it requires you to spend money first. So you need to keep a careful eye on that and manage the cash flow. So there are some small business tax concessions. And now the other area that people think of with grants is that it is money given to you in advance so that you can then go and do something. And this is where we're probably looking more at your traditional not-for-profits and how they get funded. So they might get a grant from the government to run a certain program or a development program, or to pay for marketing, or to buy equipment in an area, support, you know, particularly in sporting organizations, support athletes in representative or camps or such like that. So the money is given for a specific purpose, and it's often given up front. So you apply for it, you receive the money, then you spend it. Now, when it comes to the business side of it, it's actually the opposite way around. You have to spend the money before you get it from the government in most cases. So there are some grants available. And look, I was at a lunch with a number of business owners recently, and I asked the question, how many grants can you name? Now, I think the most that any person in that group could name was 5 different grants. Now, and they're probably the more popular or well-known ones that we're talking about. So there are grants out there that are quite well-known, but not accessible to everybody. Now, in most cases, with those grants, you have to meet the eligibility. Well, actually, in all cases, you have to meet the eligibility criteria. Otherwise, you won't be going to get the funding under the grant. You would have spent the money and not be eligible for it. So that's a key step in the process. Before you go ahead and spend the money thinking that you're going to get a grant, make sure that you're actually eligible. So each grant specifies very clearly what the conditions are for you to be eligible for that grant, and you need to comply with that. Now, as in terms of accessing funding from grants, you need to make sure that it's not the real reason why you're spending the money. There's got to be a business case for why you're spending the money. Why do you need to spend the money? Now, with one of the more popular grants, or well known, it's the Research and Development Grant. So the idea is you're investing in research and development to develop new technology and new product and innovation. So there is a purpose there, but the outcome that you're looking for is developing a new technology or product that you can sell in the future. But during this development stage, this is where you need the funding. And that's where the government grant comes in the form of a tax offset for research and development. So there is a purpose to why you're spending the money to get the grant. You're not just saying, well, hang on, there's a few government grants that I can get access to. Let me rearrange things so I can get access to them. There's actually got to be a business purpose. Otherwise, you're spending good money to chase not a grant that's not even guaranteed. Because if you're only doing your activity to chase the grant money, there's a good chance that somewhere you're going to be confusing the message and not actually meeting the eligibility criteria. So making sure that there's a purpose behind everything you do. There's got to be a business case for why you're taking that course of action, why you're going to be spending the money, and why you need the grant. Okay, so the grants are great if they match your business purpose and your business case. So with the research and development tax offset, you get that in the form of a tax concession, because often a research company, you're not getting the revenue coming in because you're still in that research or development phase, so you don't have a product which you're getting paid for. And this is where the tax offset comes in for research and development. So you get that in the form of a refund once you've lodged your tax return. But the tax return refund often comes in after the end of the year. So we're looking at a couple of months. So during that year, you're spending the money. So we need to know, how are you going to fund all your expenditure until you get the refund? And the refund's not for the full amount. The refund is only up to 40%, 45%. So you're not getting a refund for the full amount. So you need to be able to identify, where's the funding coming from? So what I'm trying to say here is that government grant is not the be-all and end-all. It's not going to solve all your problems. You should take into account how you're going to make or source the rest of the funding you need for that particular activity. Don't rely on getting the grant, because you're often applying for it after you've spent the money. So we need to be very careful that we can actually fund what we're going to do from our current sources or investor money. Or maybe we can get bank finance, but you're probably not going to get bank finance for research and development activities. So we need to be careful about how we can actually manage our cash flow during that development stage before we start getting any grant funds come in. Now, there are a couple of exceptions to that. Well, there's a few, but when we look at the New South Wales Minimum Viable Product Grant, there is some funding up front. So I think 35% gets paid to you up front. But there are some very strict criteria on there. So you need to be in a company structure that is pre-revenue, has not earned any revenue. The maximum amount that will be funded is $25,000. And you've got to fund the other 50%. You've got to have a working prototype. It doesn't need to be fully saleable. You've got to have, or at least identify, who is the customer for that product that you're developing. And is it a product that you can scale? And by scale, we mean you can grow it and sell it to multiple purchasers. Okay? So multiple buyers of your product when it's developed. So it's not a case of you have to have a product that is available. It's a case of you've got a prototype, you've got a customer, you've got a market, and you can fund it, and the government's going to encourage you to do that work. And you've got to spend most of the money in New South Wales for this particular grant. Now, there may be some other grants similar to that in other states, but I'm going to focus on New South Wales because that's where I am. And the condition there is that 80% of that work funded by a grant is done in New South Wales. So there are always conditions on grants and how you spend the money to get them. So I've mentioned research and development, and I've mentioned the minimum viable product grant. So a couple of the other grants are around commercializing your product. So helping you take that product that you've developed, that you've researched, and how do you turn that into a commercially viable business, a saleable product? So there's some incentives and programs to help you do that. What about exporting your business, your product? If you developed a product that can be sold overseas, there are some incentives to help you market it and sell into export markets, because that's great for Australia as well. So there are incentives there. But again, with these programs, so with your export market development grant and your accelerating commercialization, the funding comes after you've spent the money. So you need to have your business plan in place. You need to know how you're going to fund it in the interim before you get the grant. And there's also, again, no guarantee you're going to get the funding for the full amount you think you are, because there are very strict criteria that you need to meet on the activities you're carrying on and identifying the expenses are actually eligible under each program. So there's a few grants there. The other form of incentive is really in terms of getting people to invest in your business. So a grant might not be available, or a specific grant might be not be available, or you might have got past that point where you've developed a product, you've got the research and development, but you need help growing to the next level. And this is where some of the incentives come in for getting people to invest in your business. So I'm not going to go too much into detail because we could spend a lot of time talking about each one of those, and in fact we might do that. But two of the measures that have really come to the fore are the early stage innovation company, which gives some tax concessions to investors to invest in early stage innovation companies. So companies that have gone through that research and development process, have developed a product and need funding to grow. So there's some concessions there in terms of taxation for the investor, to encourage them to invest in developing companies. Companies that have a product they've researched and are ready to take it to the next level. And that can often go hand in hand with something like the Accelerated Commercialization Grant. So the other one that is getting a bit more traction in Australia, and it's been popular, similar models popular overseas, particularly in the UK, is what we call crowdsource equity funding, which is different to crowdsource Kickstarter funding, which you may have heard about. Now, Kickstarter funding is actually not a legal way for companies to raise money in Australia, but crowdsource equity fundraising is. But again, you do have to meet all the criteria, and there's a lot of work to get to that stage. Now, you can raise money by going to the public, but you have to go through a licensed intermediary. And there's only a number of those, so I think 17, I think, at last count. And they will manage the process of raising funds, managing the share registry, reporting to the shareholders, and making sure that that you are acting in accordance with the regulations, particularly around fundraising and reporting to shareholders. But before you get to that stage, you're going to have to have done a lot of work. You're going to have your business plan in place. You're going to have solid cash flow projections. You've got to have a business case. You've got to have a couple of years of trading history to support that it is actually a viable business and that you're needing the funding to take it to the next level, because there are so many businesses putting their hand up to raise money now. But not everyone is actually worth pursuing for crowdsource equity fundraising. So the intermediaries are being a lot more selective about what they can or choose, which companies they choose to take on board for this crowdsource equity fundraising program. So we might do another discussion on that, because I think that's pretty exciting and it'd be good to look at that in depth, because it has become more exciting, more accepted in Australia. And look at even some of the latest capital raises using crowdsource equity fundraising were quite successful. And it is a less expensive option than going all the way to full listing on a stock exchange. You know, under crowdsource equity fundraising, you stay as a proprietary limited or a private company. You're not a public company, and you're not having to go through that onerous listing requirement and rules and reporting. It's a much better for smaller businesses, but it gives you access to raising money from a wider range of investors. So there are a couple of things there. So in summary, we talked about really four ways that governments fund or create funding for businesses. We're looking at disaster recovery. So funding to help you get back on your feet after a disaster. And in that, we've got drought, bushfire, flood, COVID. Those four particularly. And they're often very targeted but limited in number. And they're there for a specific reason. We've got incentives through the tax system. To encourage a particular activity or spending from business owners. We have grants, and look, I've touched on only a few, so research and development, export market development, accelerated commercialization. There are a lot of smaller grants available for within each state for hiring people, particularly in a demographic. So we might be looking at recent graduates who are on unemployment. Funding available when you hire somebody from that area. If you've got a return to the workforce for a senior that's been on benefits, then there may be a grant there as well. If you're doing a product that you're selling to defence, there are specific funding grants available. So it just depends, but it is complex. Where do you find the information? There is a couple of sites where you can look up the grants that are available, and a lot of them don't get a lot of publicity, so it's good to check in there regularly and sign up for the newsletters. And I'll put some links to those in the notes for you to follow up. And that's another thing what we'll be doing as well here on The Business Behind Your Business, because we want to be able to share a lot more of these resources, and we're trying to get the podcast to a shorter space of time. And what we're going to do is provide extra resources available to our listeners, and we're going to do that through our sign up to our newsletter, and in that we'll publish extra resources and maybe some of the behind the scenes information that goes a bit more in depth on some of the topics we're talking about from our presenters. So if you want to get access to that, just go to the businessbehindyourbusiness.com website and sign up for the newsletter. And we'll be giving you a monthly update on some of the extra resources and behind the scenes. And if you've got a specific question that you want to hear answered on The Business Behind Your Business, so from one of our presenters, then you can go to speakpipe.com. That's speakpipe.com / The Business Behind Your Business. And you can leave us an audio question, and we'll hear that question and we'll answer that on one of our future podcast episodes. So thank you again for listening. We appreciate it. And yeah, we want to be able to share more and more information with you to help you grow a great business. So thanks for listening, and reach out to us with the questions that you have and we can give you the answers you need to grow a great business.
Thanks for listening. Do you have a question you'd like our team of experts to answer? If you do, send your question to podcast@thebusinessbehindyourbusiness.com. To hear more from The Business Behind Your Business, don't forget to subscribe using your favourite podcast player. Or you can visit the businessbehindyourbusiness.com website.